Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Going on in America and throughout the world.
today is special because we're planning to get to the root of our ruling. This is the first time that I will ever have all men as my guests, and that's not by accident. Our first guest from 12:30 to 1 p.m., Jimmy Lee Tillman. He's a candidate for the United States Senate. He is also the son of former Chicago alderperson Dorothy Tillman, host of Dorothy T and, well, host of, I think is Tea, Coffee Tea and Dorothy on WBON. And our second guest from 1 to 1:30 is Arthur Hudson, better known as Art, sometimes known as What Now, and the spokesperson for the Community Code of Conduct. And ending the program from 1:30 to 2 p.m. is Reverend Elliot Parker. He's the former pastor in Wood, made famous by Reverend L. Sampson, the only preacher ever ordained by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So the theme of our show today is the violence of abortion is a family affair, men weigh in. So I hope that any of you men that are listening will let us have your thoughts. I was once in a courtroom, and the judge said that all of the problems in the world results from one thing, that somebody did not learn, somebody was not taught how to love. And I got to thinking, maybe they were taught, but they didn't learn the lesson. So when our creator of the Female Solution, when she was given her introduction, she said, most of all, share our love. And that's what we need to do. We need to love souls into shape and not just whip them into shape, causing them to get bent out of shape. We need to love them into shape. And it is a mother that teaches love. But if women who bring forth life don't have any respect for life, then where will the respect for life come from? It will come from men. A woman loses her right gene when she becomes a three-in-one trinity representing the human family consisting of egg, sperm, and the living soul that they created. Family is the foundation of human life to continue existing on earth. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is an inalienable right that comes from the Creator, not the Constitution. Opting to be childish is a choice that many women are making that impacts abortion. Men have a moral responsibility to protect the family that his body is part of. Both fathers and mothers deserve honor. During enslavement, 90% of the babies born were to girls ages 12 to 13, and 80% of them were fathered by the white slave owner who just walked, loved the babies, because it was part of them and a sign of hope. Fathers have as much right to choose life for his sacred seed as mothers have a right to choose death. I think if society wants to stop the spirit of senseless violence, it should start with abortion and the teaching of sex education that begins in kindergarten has to be expanded beyond homosexual sex. For them, life begins in a test tube, and changing gender because the God of creation, Yah, used his inalienable power and put them in the wrong body is not the government's fault. However, it is fixing it by changing the language of opposite sex so they can no longer be what they are because others want to be what they are not. Breastfeeding runs from chest feeding because milk comes from a breast, not a chest. Today, there are many methods of birth control that did not exist 49 years ago when Roe v. Wade came into being, like the day after pill or postponing a menstrual cycle for years. If a young female without parental consent is savvy enough to go to a doctor for help to kill the living soul, fruit of the womb, heritage of Yah God that is growing inside of her, even if it was a result of rape from a relative, friend, or stranger, she is savvy enough to go to the police and get help that will safeguard the community from a rapist on the loose. Women claiming a right to privacy while using public tax dollars to pay for the consequences of their private sexual life because she does not know who the daddy is, where the daddy is, or he wants her to abort so he could just walk away. That is evidence of mental, moral, and spiritual family decay that needs exposure and treatment. When it comes to most Negro Black descendants of enslavement who have never been made whole from the untreated hard man, poverty, and Jim Crow genocide damage due to transgenerational epigenetics inherent in DNA, Black women are dying during pregnancy at 3 times the rate of white women and twice the rate of Latino women. Does Black Lives Matter when you add they have 38% of the abortions because they are too poor to keep it, but will allow the doctor to sell the fruit of the womb, heritage of God, living soul, without getting any of the proceeds for the aborted body parts? They are volunteering to be recycled slaves and destroying their own kind. What is the solution? After 345 years of governmental interference, it's time to spiritually secede from the satanic system of subordination and honor Black lives, especially mothers and fathers, and demand reparations to make them whole so they can be responsible for the lives they create. This includes marrying the mother or man up instead of acting like the slave owner and just walk away. In conclusion, this is my first question to you. If women who bring forth life don't have any respect for it, where will the respect for life come from? Now, if we don't have any callers on the line and we're not expected to have our guests until after 12:30, I'd like to ask our creator of the Female Solution what she thinks about a man's role in the abortion situations, because in 49 years and they've been silent. Do you think it's time for them to speak up? Can you hear me, Miss Naima?
Yes, ma'am. And thank you so much for bringing forth this topic. I'm looking forward to hearing the thoughts of the men who will be joining you today. This is a subject that we differ on in many places around the world because people have a differing understanding about the soul and what life is. So my thought, my understanding, is that we are eternal beings and we exist before we enter the body and we exist after we exit the body. So the decision to come in a body is the soul's decision to be a part of the family that they are coming through, that genetic line, that historic line, for that particular life experience that they want to have. So when a mother feels that she does not have the capacity to properly bring forth, to honor, to love, to raise, to guide that life that has entered her body, then she goes through a very violent act of removing the fetus, the growing body in her body. I think the issue with abortion, the challenge that we have, it begins even before conception. It begins with the spirit in which the act of conception, the sexual intimacy, what was the spirit of the two people involved? And when there is no teaching of men of the connection that they have to the divine and opening this door for a soul to come into physical existence, then they very carelessly engage in this act, and sometimes with hostility, as in the case of rape, which is an act of hatred. It's a hate act. It's a hate crime against women. It isn't about, oh, I was so aroused sexually I couldn't help myself. This is an intention to cause pain, degradation, humiliation, harm, subjugation, and all of that that is in the heart of a man who commits an act of rape.
Absolutely.
And that itself is a sign of a spiritual malfunction. So
exactly.
Now, in the case you mentioned where sometime a woman is involved sexually with a man or several men, she may not know the father, she may be in financial distress. Also, again, this is a woman who's not been taught the spiritual connection between that sex act and bringing forth a soul through her to experience physical existence. She hasn't been taught, so she engages in the act with carelessness. Not knowing. Now, the question that I have raised, and I think you have mentioned this as well, I know Maika has talked about it during her times on the shows. Why is it that we, the human female, out of all the species on Earth, do not know our bodies well enough to know when we are fertile? Why are we ignorant of that? Every species of female knows when they are fertile except human beings. Why are we thinking that we shouldn't study our bodies, we shouldn't know the cycles, we shouldn't be very well acquainted with everything that biochemically affects our bodies? Why don't we know when it's a very specific day of the month? How is it that we are ignorant of that and allow ourselves to remain ignorant and allow our daughters to remain ignorant? Why are we not studying and knowing and mastering the knowledge of our bodies to respect our bodies enough to not even put us in this position where we are engaging in intimacy without the desire and intention to bring forth life and then having to snatch the life from us? Why are we ignorant? That's my question.
Am I on mute? Am I on mute?
Okay, go right in. I hear you going in and out. Are you speaking now? I think
no,
you got a caller on, but haven't pressed one yet. But go right ahead.
I was asking you if I was on mute because
you're alive.
Okay. Because you said something earlier when you was talking about animals have instincts. But when it comes to, you were saying, a woman decides to have this soul come in, I believe, biblically speaking, in that Black History Bible book, whose hero is a woolly-haired man with bronze-colored feet to match his bronze-colored face, you reap what you sow. So I think whether you reap it in this life or you reap it in the next will determine whether it's the conception is a result of a rape in the alley, or you gave birth in the White House or in the Queen's Palace, because eventually you reap what you sow. And I think that we were made good, and we will keep recycling whatever it is until we get it right. And that is a choice that we make every time we are given the honor, the gift of life, as you would say, on this side of the dirt. We have it every single day. That's why I stopped saying be blessed. I started saying stay blessed, because every single minute is an opportunity for you to live in blessedness or live in having somebody bless you out. It is because you reap what you sow, and you reap what you say, and you do not reap what other people say and sow. So once we can get that straight, we won't be trailing after other people, asking them certain questions. You know, if somebody gives you their word, for instance, and they say, well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, and they don't do it. I used to, like most people, say, well, what happened? You know, wait a minute. You should be explaining to me what happened, that you didn't keep your word. This was your commitment. It wasn't up to me to go and say, well, what happened? No, that's on you. Tell me what happened. You violated your word. You didn't violate my word. You gave your word and didn't keep it. So I think once we can kind of know the difference, we can adjust our behavior to the behavior that's being offered to us many times in an offensive way. People think it's okay for them to just go up to you and insult somebody. I think it's insulting if somebody comes up to you and they say to you, smile. They don't know what you're going through. Who put them in charge of the smile club that they could just walk up and violate your face and what you're going through and tell you, smile? That's not something that somebody else decides for another human being. If you want to smile, you ought to be able to without the smile squad, goody two shoes coming up and say, I want smiles. I want to see smiles. You know, but you don't live on the planet by yourself. Thinking at that particular moment might be something that wouldn't cause them to smile. So when you comprehend this meaning of, I think, bossing, I think when you really comprehend what that means, it just means that you have a certain amount of respect for the other person's space because you want them to have respect for you. But we, like you said, we wasn't taught well. We had reparations to make us whole. There's a lot of steps that we missed. But it's not just a simple matter of that. People are saying, oh, well, you know, this person did this act. They put on bulletproof vests. They mapped out their territory and what they were going to do and when they were going to do it. Sometimes they share it over the Internet. They have these manifestos that they've written, hundreds of pages explaining what they're doing and why they're doing it. And then we say, well, you know, that person was mentally ill. I don't think so. That person was. We don't wrestle just against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness. That is a spiritually wicked person that knew exactly what he was doing. Mentally ill means I'm confused. I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm subject to doing anything but plan and plot and carry out that plan and that plot. Don't say that was mental illness. Most mentally ill people are not mass murderers. They're not murderers at all. But this is a famous, a good topic that we could just dump it on the mentally ill or dump it on gun control. These people killed with legal guns. They were registered. And they used it in two cases. They killed, well, they didn't kill the grandmother, in this case of the 19 children and two adults. But in a previous case, I think it was Sunny Brooks, I'm not sure of the name, but they killed 20 first graders. And in this particular case, the mother was killed before they went in and assaulted these grammar school young children. This man didn't attack a high school either. He shot his grandmother and then went in and assaulted these young children. So maybe the connection was who taught him how to love, or when did he miss the message of how to love? Because as the judge said, all things are stemming from somebody who did not learn how. Because if you know how to love, you're not out there destroying life. You're out there helping to develop life to its fullest potential. And we don't know a lot of things about our bodies because we're not taught about our bodies. We are taught lessons like you're in the wrong body. Well, we could all say we're in the wrong body because none of us decided whether we were going to be males or females. But now we can't even claim that today. You can't say you're a male or a female because that infringes on people's rights that are not either or. Well, all life from the union of a male and a female. End of story. I don't know why there's so much debate around it. If two homosexual men or homosexual women wish to be parents, they have to borrow an egg, if they're two men, from a woman, mix it in a test tube, put it back in the body of a woman, and they say, we have a child on the way, even though only one of them can be a biological parent. If it's two women, they have to borrow some sperm from somewhere, and they have a child on the way. And when that child is born, 50% of them are thrown away, so that two men, two women, and be parents. Well, honor your mother and your father. And I'll say it, and then we'll go to break. I will say this. Same sex can never be honored as mothers and fathers because the same sex means two daddies or two mamas. Is it time for us to go to break? We'll be coming up on our break, and when we return, we should be speaking to Mr. Tillman.
Yes, he hasn't arrived yet, but you do have a caller, unless that's Kim calling in from another number. So we'll go to our break, and we'll come back and open the mic on our switchboard, and we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And if you're on our switchboard now and would like to comment, please press 1. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
I guess we'll.
We are back, and if you'd like, I'll open the mic for 111111. Please state your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
This thing, I just wanted to say something to.
Yeah, I was Mr. Guest or not calling in from another number.
I just wanted to say something to Jim Elise, because we don't know, he hasn't called in, what might have happened. But we can take calls at random during this time. So please open up the mic.
111-111. Please give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Awesome subject. You know, one of the biggest problems in traditional society is this misguided idea about what sex and all that is about. No matter what people say, if that woman is pregnant and they abort that living soul, that's murder. And you look at today's society and how out of control they are. I used to look at the airport. We were at the towers, like 100 feet from the front door. The only thing people ever did was come in, get their bags, and leave town. We had maybe one security guard that was a retired police officer or somebody off duty that was over there half asleep. Why all of a sudden today people feel like I got to go out and get me a gun and shoot up an elementary school? There's no respect for life. If you have respect for life, if you can't do something, you go sit down somewhere. You don't go wipe out a whole group of people because you're angry. So what does that got to do with love? So it almost begins to reek like that. You have no respect for a life born because it's a fetus. Then nobody cares about each other. So today what we have, carjackings of old grandmothers. Why would you carjack your grandmother's car? What type of person does that? So we got a lot of, because of these people that spend 12 and 13 hours in screen time on computers, or on a laptop, or on the internet, or in TikTok where the little girls are and all the grown men acting like little girls and little boys just so they can be in on it. I mean, we live in some very interesting times, but it makes me wonder. If you don't have respect for a life born and you can just take it out like that, well, I guess people don't have no respect for anybody else's life. And they're going to be the next killer, and there's going to be more than 19 people because somebody has to outdo the last guy. How about that, Seth?
Well, I thank you for that comment. And as you were talking, I was thinking about when you said respect for life. We didn't say that people were mentally ill when Ida B. Wells was out crusading for laws against lynching, because they would put it in the newspaper. There's going to be a lynching next. Such a place at such a time. And people that showed up, they brought their husbands, their wives, their children, because this was county fair country fun. Murder always been marketed as entertainment. It was entertainment to take some souvenirs, some fingers or negita toes as souvenirs, like killing an animal and putting the head up on your lawn. So when you come from a mentality, even going into the service, when you go into the service, what the Army sergeant say, maybe you can mute your mic. What it says is, we are going to whip you into shape. The idea, even when men are in on the birthing situation, they take the child and hit it. Great big hand. Hit the child. Because they're saying, well, you know, we have to clear the mucus. No, you didn't have a baby. I had a cat give birth to kittens while I was in the bed. And every time that little kitten slid out, like they were packed in very, very thick Vaseline, that mother cat licked that baby kitten clean with her tongue. She didn't bite excited or growl at a mother cat can have that kind of tenderness for her child. You carry this child for 9 months. The first thing you're thinking of is not let me hit it. But this is what happens when you go into a hospital or have a male doctor, and it was one time only men could be doctors, and this is the first thing he thinks to do, but he's never given birth. So why should a child be introduced to pain before they are introduced to love? It's because men were in the birthing room. And so I thank you for your comment. Do you have some closing comments?
I was just going to say, you know, you're absolutely right. And the other thing that gets me, one of the reasons I stopped watching television and marketing, have you ever noticed how they have the gun next to the face? And how the majority of these movies have all this graphic violence that's supposed to be fun. So until people stop using violence as entertainment, expect the continuation of shooting and everything else y'all can imagine until the change comes. Because after all, it's only because the people like us that pray that 20 and 30 people didn't die instead of just 19. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And see, that's one of the reasons why we're saying the violence of abortion. You are killing something that's alive. Now, you can try to use semantics and say, well, it's not, it's an embryo, it's a fetus. I don't care what you call it, it's a living soul. No man has determined when the soul starts, but the creator of the soul. And what he says is, children are a heritage of God. He didn't say they belong to the parents, even though they come through the parents. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. And when that life starts to live, it's a living soul at the end of the day. And you're going somewhere to ask some person to stop that living soul. Kill it, destroy it, stop it. Not alive, why do you have to kill it? But people don't even associate violence with abortion. And it's time that they did, particularly black women who have these intergenerational epic transferred inheritance DNA problem to begin with. And then you have the effrontery to be 38% of the abortion because of your sexual looseness. And that's why men have a role in this. Once you're no longer just woman and man. As I said earlier, this woman is a trinity. She's part living egg, part living sperm, and part living what the egg and the sperm put together called living soul. Men, you have 2-1. And in a democracy, 2-1, one loses, and two comes out the winner. You have a right to represent that sacred seed. And if you started valuing life as sacred, instead of I'm going to sow some wild oats, there are no fields for you to sow wild oats.
Excuse me, Mama D, your guest is on. Jimmy Lee Tillman is on. Can I open his mic?
Yes, please.
All right. Go right ahead. Your mic is open.
Welcome.
Yes.
Jimmy Lee.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Would you, because 15 minutes of your time is already expired, but could you please tell us a little bit about yourself before you come in on our title, The Violence of Abortion is a Family. Men Weigh In. Would you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, Well, my name is Jimmy Lee Tillman. I'm an author, historian, and publisher. I have a book called Tillman's Handbook on Great Black American Patriots. It's my answer to CRT. You can find that book on TillmanFamilyPress.com. For any other information, you can go to my webpage, JimmyLee2DC.com. Right now, I'm running for the primary United States Senate. Want to hear information about my organization, the Martin Luther King Republicans? You can go to MartinLutherKingRepublicans.com. I'll let you chime in on any time, you know, what we're talking about. I heard you talking. I don't want to just interrupt. Continue on what you was going on.
Oh, this is your time.
I was in queue.
Yes. Here. So tell us a little bit more about yourself, your upbringing, et cetera.
Oh, I don't want to go that kind of deep. I was trying to hit the road. Well, you know, my mother's Alden Dorothy Tillman. My father's Jimmy Lee Tillman, the world famous, Dr. Jimmy Lee Tillman, the world famous blues drummer. I'm running for Senate here in the great state of Illinois to defeat Tammy Duckworth. I'm running on a Republican ticket, and that might come as a shock to you all, but I'm running on the ticket of the Republican Party. And my platform really is a black agenda. I'm on this American First Plan, which is a black agenda, because under the last administration, we had 5.3 unemployment. Under this administration, we're looking at 7.8. In Illinois, it's 10.9. And so right now, the condition of black American has totally went down south. You got the FDA giving out money to Big Pharma to give sexual puberty blockers to our children. Right now, you got all these ungodly laws, these spiritual crime bills that they're soliciting, passing down to our children. They're changing the culture, the way we exist. Now, me, I'm a God-fearing man, and next thing you know, the way my lifestyle that I was taught for hundreds and hundreds of years, and my way I'm feeling now is going to be deemed extreme, or because I disagree with your sexual lifestyle or the fact that you want to kill children, that might make my view extreme. But right now, I'm fighting for the people who don't realize that they're trying to change not only the black race, but all race. They're changing all things. They're destroying our. They are making our God look like he's an evil God. But I would like to just tap in. Well, excuse me for the loud noise. We just come up the road from Sinclair County, and we're heading in now. And that's why I was calling late. Apologize for that also. On the topic of this subject, I hope I'm correct that you were talking about the celebration that people are doing now by destroying the lives of unborn kids. And to me, I hope I'm on the right topic because that's something else I'm running on. To the Republican Party, we are a pro-life. People might look at that as, oh, what's wrong with you and what's wrong with that. But if you are, if you believe in the black race, in the black culture, you know that the first thing that they teach you that they have been trying to eliminate you, trying to extinguish you. The black man is a dangerous species. All these things I was taught and all those things I was heard, that you have to have a strong black family. It will take a black family to make the black race straight. But right now, we have all these black people championing, destroying what's going to make our race great, destroying the lives of our children. And to sit there, well, you know, I hope the conversation was like, wasn't going in the direction that men don't have, you know, that men don't have a say-so. Maybe some of these men want to have their children, but in today's lifestyle, a man does not have any rights on if I can have a child, if that child can be with me, or if I can have rulership over that child. And so now there is no male structure. And if your child become a male or exuberate something they would call toxic manhood, we're going to give them some blockers and make this man a little girl. Matter of fact, we're going to tell all you boys that the only way to get on is by dressing up like a woman and playing women's sports. Right now, there are no men left in America. They're destroying the nature of our family structure by weakening our men, by even saying, women, you can have as many, you can lay down and have as many sexual improprieties as you want to. You don't have to bear no consequences for that. And you will not, as a man, have any say-so if you want to have life. some people fail to realize that it's the man that submits the seed in the fertilization of a woman to give life. It's like once he gives that seed up, he has no control or no say-so where seeds go. So I don't know where we was heading with the conversation, but
well,
the whole conversation should be pro-family, and abortion is anti-family.
That is where we were headed with the conversation, because we said it's the violence of abortion is a family affair. Men weigh in. Now, if you wanted to get public aid, for instance, and you went and made the application, they would ask you, who is the father? Now, you might say, well, I don't, let's just say you said, well, I really don't know. I don't want to give that information. I don't know who the father is. They will tell you, you don't meet the qualifications to get this assistance. It's the same thing when it comes to abortion. If they said the father's name, because this child, you're not just by yourself anymore. You are representing family. You are three in one, part living egg, part living sperm, and part living what the egg and the sperm put together, created, called living soul. So a man, if he's going to take a vote, has part of that. His sacred seed is part. He might want to say, I don't want you to destroy my portion and the portion that we created. I'm going to represent family. So that's man plus the one, the sacred soul that he helped to create. That's two against your one. So if a woman has a right to choose, it is to choose not to become a mother. Because once she is three in one, a trinity, part living egg, part living sperm, and what the egg and the sperm put together, called living soul, the system that creates a continuance of life on earth, is that particular family structure. So I'm saying, yes, a man does have a right. And if you're asking the government to pay for your sexual private life, then let the man weigh in. Produce the name of the father. What do you think about that?
Well, that's excellent. Well, let's revisit the welfare situation. Wouldn't it be something different if you gave the aid to dependent, needy families? That one qualification, if to get the welfare, is that you have a father in the building. And then you'll see that from the point on of women escaping to get on Section 8 or welfare by not having a man or what have you, the benefits you get by not having a man in the house being on welfare. Wouldn't it be just a plus that if there was laws that change welfare and saying that you will get more incentives by being a united family structure and we'll get the same rights that we give to a single mother to that father to find the job to be the same structure as that family? Wouldn't that be a better way of strengthening a country? It's a country's only strong by its family. If you have a country that does not worship family, you have a country that's not going to take care of the elderly or the babies. They all live for themselves. The baby that you know, you don't want the children here, and you're not taking care of the elderly. You're living for self right now. It's a destruction. Well, it's a destructional path that we're heading down right now. And you see, the laws are made to get rid of the head of the household, the structure. And if a child cannot respect or love or know the father upon this earth, how can that child know and love and respect the father that he does not see? So everything is being shot down from all plans. And the sad part about it is we as a people are allowing it to happen, not standing up saying anything. When I was young, it was nothing, and I'm about to be 50, there's nothing to find a mother with 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 kids. But when I was young, also, I heard people frowning down at those people saying, look at all them babies she got. How many kids? You know, frowning down upon it. Now, the little children hearing that, hearing their mama get laughed at, getting joked at, and that's stigmatizing the little girl. Like, I ain't going to have that many babies. I ain't going to have no babies. You ain't going to treat me that way. Because even in our own society, in our own black community, we shun and look down upon those who bring in more of our future in. We're looking upon them and saying, look at you, bringing our future in. What's wrong with you? You need to go ahead and sit down somewhere. We don't need no more babies in this world. We don't need no more population. We need to cut our population short. That's seems like what we're saying. It seems like we got black women saying abortion is free. Let's get rid of my baby. It's a sad state of black affairs when we have a black community saying we need to strengthen the black family, but not saying we need to put laws in place to ensure that the black family stays together. And that's what the whole deal. When welfare first started, it was for needy families, men, women, children, to get back on their feet. But now they cut the laws out. Welfare is good and bad. You can get it on it to help you out, but it's nothing to be living and helping. Is the government going to be a crutch to all your life and all your business? But now we're looking at our family structure. Single mother, many different fathers, might have many different abortions. Children have no idea who their father is or what a man is. Daughters have no idea how to be loved by a man or how to hear a man. And we go into an endless cycle. And that little girl going to grow up saying, I don't want no children by any means necessary. So we put on rinse, cycle, repeat. Somewhere, somehow, the structure has got to stop. Somehow, the children have to know that they have to love their parents and their father.
We're coming to the end of your section. Earlier you said that you were a God-fearing man. And see, it was once a desirable thing to have your quivers full because children were looked upon as a blessing. You were blessed to have children.
Yep.
So the government changed its policies, and they started promoting adoptions and group homes and everything else. It wasn't that women wanted to break up their families. They were hiding men in closets and things, but to meet the requirements that the government set up to have shelter and food for your wife and children, you must vacate the premises. So these were governmental policies. And you said earlier you were running for United States Senator.
Yes. Yes, I am.
I mean, with about the 60 seconds we have left, what kind of governmental policies that could be made around this abortion family issue that would cut the man in, because they are demanding that the government pay for this sexual misconduct on both sides. Weed is not viewed as sacred, and that's the problem right there. So,
in a little time I have, nowadays technology has caught up with immorality. We do not have to take our daughters and children or have to sneak off to some shop or Planned Parenthood and go get abortion. They have things like the day after pill. If you think you might be pregnant or maybe you not might be pregnant, what have you, they have things now where you don't even need the quote-unquote surgery. Matter of fact, people don't realize that most abortions are done with the pill and not even surgical. They just want the DNA or the little stem cells from the body parts. It's a harvesting plant. Now, what I will do, I will cut funding from Planned Parenthood, and I will not make it, I will just cut the funding right there. Government funding should not be applied to murder the unborn. And that's any money that was even given from the government to promote the killing of the unborn, I will put a stop to that. Because thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you, Mother D. I appreciate being on the show.
No, I just wanted to thank you for being on the show. The government is involved in the paying for this private sexual life. I think that the government can also involve the fathers who are part of
I agree.
And Okay, so thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thank you. Webpage is JimmyLeeTheDC.com. Thank you, Mother D. JimmyLeeTheDC.com, everybody. I love you. Have a nice day.
You too. Okay, we've come up for our break.
And we'll be right back
going
after
over
this.
A little bit.
So stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Move Around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on higher learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness sessions on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness / stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Do you believe in freedom? Cannot rest until it comes. Do you believe in freedom?
Cannot rest.
Hear me talking to you. Do you believe in
are back.
Okay. Have our guest, Mr. Arthur Hudson, arrived?
He has not. While I'm contacting him, anybody on the switchboard that wishes to speak, please press 1 and give us your thoughts about today's topic. The violence of abortion is a family affair, and we've asked men to weigh in. Some very interesting comments made by Jimmy Lee Tillman. And for those who want to perhaps comment on what they heard, what do you think about him deciding to defund Planned Parenthood if elected, and his thoughts about abortion being murder and the government should not fund murder? Well, that, I agree that the government should not fund murder. Definitely the government should not be funding the killing of people abroad in these wars, because it definitely does take our tax dollars and kill children in war, and we don't even know what's happening. We just see that people are angry at America, and we don't know the atrocities that have been done with our tax dollars. So I understand the sentiment of the government not funding war, but we want to hear from our listening audience. We've got quite a few on the switchboard here, so please press 1, give us your thoughts before the next guest arrives. I'll be contacting them and see if we can get them connected with our host. And
well, while we're waiting, I heard Mr. Tillman say several times he referred to the word kid. A kid is an animal beast with 4 legs. It's a baby goat. And a child is a human being person with 2 legs. And once we went down the road of disrespecting children, no one gave us the moral authority to rename our children animals and to promote animals as boys and girls. Come here, boy. Come here, girl. You give a gender identity to a dog. But when it comes to a child, that K word, that kid word, it has no gender. So we're wrestling not just against flesh and blood, but for God-fearing people, is spiritual wickedness on high places. And that was spiritual wickedness because most people thought, oh, well, that's what's wrong with calling children the K word? They've been called much worse things than that. So they justified inappropriate behavior. And if they spiritually speaking, a liar is worse than a murderer, because lying tongues do 2 things. They destroy the body as well as the soul. And what profits you to gain the whole world, have all of these fantastic jobs, and lose your soul? That's what we're getting back to when we say pod living aid, pod living sperm, and pod living what the egg and the sperm put together, a living soul. And you are stopping the life of a living soul. But you can do that when you justify all the inappropriate behavior and the sins of the parents are visited on the children. No woman ever gave birth to a kid. And I do and have told them to their face, you are a liar. Now you go and you get me a child and you get me a goat. They still exist. They have goat farms where they have the nanny and the billy are the parents of a kid, which is a baby goat. I said, now you get the goat here and it has 4 legs, and you get the child here and it has 2 legs. So you are lying. Facts can change feelings. Feelings cannot change facts. So you didn't have the moral authority to take away the gender identity with the power of life and death that is in your tongue, you killed the humanity of this child and made it an animal. You don't want to let women be called the B word. Well, a dog is called a female bitch. But you can't even call a dog a bitch. But that is what a dog is, a female bitch. And you don't want to be called bitches. But it's okay to call your children goats. See, that is the kind of confusion that comes from an adult's lack of respect for human life. Your child is not a goat. Your child is not any more than you are a bitch. Can't you just, this is what women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation is about. Before you become a mother, you need to know body. You need to know how motherhood changes your body. You need to know these things. And we're not taught those kinds of things because we can't use body parts. You can't say penis and vagina. You got to say wee-wee and tee-tee and pocketbook and all kinds of ignorance. And then you put that on the children and you confuse them and they fall for anything because you haven't taught them to care for something like the sanctity of life. Life is, and unless you take that approach, you're going to have these wars. You're going to have these slaughtering of each other. As I said, who gave you the doctor, the moral authority, or any other kind of authority to introduce the child to pain before it was just introduced love or to accept.
Yeah, I believe your next guest has arrived. Open the mic for area code 773-983. Introduce yourself to our listening audience. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon. Who is this?
This is Pamela Dominguez.
Oh, I did realize that you were going to be a guest on the female program.
Well,
because she was saying while we were waiting for the guest, but since you're on the line, I would like for you to weigh in on our topic, the violence of abortion is family affair. Men weigh in. Now, since you're on the line and this was a show exclusively dedicated to men, what have you heard men say about men want to mention? What have you heard them say?
I've heard very few say. Again, my name is Pamela Dominguez. What I've heard men say has been very minimal. A lot of men give money. They don't want to be bothered with the child. Here, go get an abortion. Then you have a very few that say, I want my child. Or I've met guys that said they didn't know the woman was going to have an abortion and just really broke their heart. So there are a lot of mixed emotions around having an abortion. It's a very complicated, I believe, a complicated thorn in the side of Americans. Abortions is violent, like you said, Mama D. It's very violent. It's even, but we don't know what the child goes through in the womb during that abortion. And I'm pretty sure it's painful. I think even a normal birth experience for some children is traumatic. But I think this abortion issue overall, and I wanted to say because Mr. Tillman talked about the destruction of the black family, and it has, although abortions was instituted by the Caucasians. You know, the poor white women were having, especially Iris, were having baby after baby after baby after baby. So it wasn't the negativity of having so many children. It was having them so close together where it impaired the woman's health. And so that is why the abortions began, to try to help save women's lives. And I see fast forward that abortions have become a means of birth control. I know women personally that have had 2, 3, 4, 5 abortions. And I want to just say the issue that I would like to see around abortions, which you don't hear, celibacy. Where is the human self-control? Why can't we control our own desires? If you know you're single, you know you don't want to have any children, do what you can. Take some birth control pills, which some say that's abortion too. Do the rhythm method. There are various mechanisms to not have children. But people don't want to have restraints. They want to do what they want to do. And then whatever mechanisms that are in place, they want to utilize them to not bring forth children into the world. And I think it's an awful, horrible, terrible thing. Very violent. And I believe women and men that go through abortions together, couples, husbands, wives, boyfriends, they have long-term effects from it as well, that this child has been murdered. It's no longer here. You can't go through abortion and not have any feelings about it. So those are just some of my comments, and I'll just end with...
While you're on the line, the founder of Planned Parenthood, I think maybe Margaret Sanger. Yes, she said that she was doing it because black people, in particular, she didn't cite the Irish or other racial groups, where they breed it like animals, and they had to be stopped. And depending on, spiritually speaking, blessed is the man that has his quiver full. That
yes.
Man, children were a joy. But when she came in, and I don't know, not one organization, when they started promoting abortion, putting it in newspapers, putting up the clinics, I don't recall NAACP or Urban League or a Rainbow Push or any other black organization having an abortion clinic. Not one. And black women never had the stigma on them. When I opened up with my comments, I said that during enslavement, the 90% of the babies born were to ages 12 to 13 year olds, and 80% of that 90% were fathered by the white slave owner, who made sure he had every little virgin that was on his plantation, made sure he had them first. So what I'm saying is, we didn't have that stigma on us, and it wasn't us, and if we had large families, that meant we had lots of people to help us pick cotton, and that was a financial incentive to some families. But when you get back to, oh my, she's pregnant, so what? Big deal. Somebody always took care of the baby. When a mother got sold off, somebody stepped up and took care of the baby. The mothers up in Chicago, like Oprah Winfrey's mother, like a lot of other mothers, grandmothers, have the children, no problem whatsoever. So we never, being non-human beings for 246 years, a movable property thing called chattel, a black woman couldn't even be raped if she was sexually mutilated by anyone other than her white slave owner. It was a trespass against him and not her. So we never had that kind of, oh, my goodness, my reputation, I'm just going to be ruined. No, you have the baby and you keep on stepping. And somebody in the family is going to take care of the baby. Somewhere along the line, when we got culturally conditioned and the sales campaign for come get your abortion and come get it now, you know, and it became your favorite means of pregnancy. Just go get an abortion. Some women had 8 and 9 abortions because it was their favorite method of birth control. But look at the bottom line. That stem cell, those fetal body parts have a price tag of hundreds of thousands of dollars on it. So I think one thing we need to do, at least now that we have brought up the subject, that the violence in connection with abortion, is to put down the price tag. What does these body parts cost? And why is the pharmaceutical really behind the abortion campaign that black women are so gullible that are leaving 38% when they're already dying the rate of white women and twice the rate of Latino women? This is a very serious issue. Black women through abortion have killed more babies than the wars have killed.
Now, I would love to see some statistics on that, because that's, I know black women have abortions, but so do white women. And I think more, I think it's, and anytime they say we're hiring, other than these illnesses, we don't get the full picture. You know, they want to always paint us as the leading in negatives. And like you said, even before birth control, I had girlfriends that got pregnant when we were in high school. They went down south, had the babies. They came back. The grandmother took care of the baby. So those mechanisms were in. But at some point, we've changed our ideas of family. These your kids, take care of them. Or if you're not going to have it, that's on you. And I agree. I think people need to know what the body parts are used for in these abortions. I think a lot of people just don't know. They don't read about abortions and what it does to the infants and what they do with the parts of the infants. And I think if there's a campaign to show that, and if there's a commercial, I just saw it yesterday on Channel 7, one of these politicians. It was very graphic. It showed a baby that had been aborted in the womb. This was on Channel 7 yesterday. And I think if more people saw those type of on billboards, magazines, that would stop a lot of these abortions. Even they put something on the women that have contemplated an abortion to see what's going to happen.
Tell me, Mama D, your guest, Arthur Hudson, is on now, if you'd like to have him join our conversation.
Okay, right. Well, thank you very much, Pamela, for filling in and giving us some information while we waited for our guest. So he has about 5 minutes. How are you?
Okay. Also got a call after that as well. But I'll open the mic. Okay, well, area code 219, your mic is open. Go right ahead.
We won't go.
All righty.
Just give him the remainder of the time. We'll go to commercial break, and then our final guest should come. So, and after our final guest makes his remarks, then we can take a call. Mr. Arthur?
Yes.
Okay, you've got about 5 minutes, most of your 25 minutes have expired, so you want to just tell us a minute or two something about yourself and then address our subject. The violence of abortion is a family affair. Men weigh in. So you just want to tell us something about yourself?
Well, currently I am the talk show host and president of Dreammakers 365, and that is a national organization.
Excuse me. You have the your full time. You're our third guest.
Yes.
So if you just hang on a minute, and I'll wrap, because you come on from 1:30 2 o'clock. What we can now take the caller, and you'll be in time for your spots from 1:30 to 2 o'clock. So could we go to the caller now?
Okay, area code 314-677. Your mic is open. Go right ahead. introduce yourself to our listening audience and your comments.
Well, I'd like to hear what this gentleman said. I might have something to comment on him.
Well, you will. Then he will come up at 1:30, and then you can see what the gentleman will have to say. We, by accident, our second guest was put in when he is actually our third guest. So since you don't have any questions now, you can just hold your questions until he comes up at 1:30 when his time slot comes up after the break. So I will continue since Ms. Pamela is not on the line, and we were talking about men weighing in. And she was that said that women needed to be taught more about abstinence, I believe, was what she said. And we haven't touched on that, but that's true. Where is it written that you must have sex? It's a need. No, sex is a drive. What you need is food, water, air, and shelter. So sex is a drive, and it can be controlled. There's nothing out here saying, demanding that, especially if you are unmarried, cannot afford it, that you must have sex. And when you are faced with the consequences of your irresponsible sexual behavior, you're going to demand that the government pay. And we need to reexamine that. And as I said, if you have to give up the daddy's name because to get support for your child, then you need to give up the daddy's name to get support for an abortion. These are monies belonging to the taxpayer that's being used so that you can destroy a living soul. And this is what we're talking about. But since we don't normally associate the violence of abortion, that's the reason we're having this conversation. And men weigh in. Honor, biblically speaking, honor your mother and your father. When a woman becomes, in a family way, as I said earlier, becomes a trinity, she is part living egg, part living sperm, living, but the egg and the sperm put together, called living soul. Now, if the soul wasn't living, you wouldn't have to kill it. And so, therefore, killing is an act of violence any way you slice it. And so, men, you're no longer a woman with a right to choose. You are now a mother in the mother category, with the category of parent. And both of you deserve to be honored. Honor your mother and your father. So, financially, biologically, and spiritually, this is three parts. And two of those parts, one, belonging to the male and what they created. And if he steps up, he should have a say. Created in the body, and the woman does not want to accept those terms, then government don't pay for it. This is the requirement. Tell us who the daddy is, and then we will have an opportunity to interview him to determine what his wishes are. And that should be done. So we're going to take our break, our final break, and when we return, we will be speaking with Mr. Reverend Elliot Parker. So Can we take our break now?
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
What happens when a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death? Slavery, the African-American psychic trauma. What happened to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African Americans suffering from psychic trauma because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. And get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African American Psychic Trauma.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Well, hallelujah, greetings. We are back. We're back, and I am just so thrilled to have you, Elliot Parker, as my guest. And physically speaking, just let me tell everybody that you look like the twin of Emmett Lewis Till. Just like that photo of him, sitting next to the TV. If we look at you, we know exactly how he would have looked if he had grown to adulthood. Now, tell me, am I right about that or not?
Yes, you are. Yes, I am.
Okay.
I never thought you would have said this. Yeah. So thankful that you said that. So.
But the resemblance is so striking. Until when you see it, you said, you know, I've seen that photo. I've seen that face somewhere before. And it's Emmett Till. But please tell us a little bit about yourself. And your Blog Talk Radio program, and don't forget your time as a minister at Fernwood Church. And before you weigh in on our title, The Violence of Abortion is a Family Affair, men weigh in. So please tell us.
Well, thank you so much, Mama D, for inviting me to speak on this hot issue of abortion. And shortly, I want to just share four points of light on this issue as it relates to us as black males. But yes, I did serve for 3.5 years as the pastor of Fernwood United Methodist Church there on the south side, right there on the corner, I believe, of 110th and Wallace and over near Halsted. So I thank God for that opportunity. We had the pleasure of working with many residents on that south side for 3.5 years. And I even noticed not far from the church, Mama D, there was an abortion clinic, a parenthood clinic there in our community, and I'll address that in a minute. But again, currently, fast forward, I serve as a talk show host, president of Dreammakers 365 organization, where we are helping young people, African-American, black and brown children who need to have encouragement as we live in a country now where we see so much gun violence, as we've seen in Buffalo and we've seen also in the state of Texas. But not only that, and that brings me to this issue. And the sad truth about that is abortions in this country are disproportionately affecting black females. It is an issue. So it brings me to my four points, and we can entertain comments or questions. But number one, as black males, I strongly encourage us to work side by side with women leading this movement. Now, I don't know which way it will go as far as to abort or not. We as black men, we are silent on this issue. And that really bothers me as a black man. A black man must step up on abortion rights. Number two, today too many men see themselves not on the side of women to fight on the same sideline rather than being active allies. We need to be on the side of women when it comes to this issue. Again, I'm not here to say if they're going to abort or not, okay? Number three, from the Library of Medicine, I did some homework. 75.7% of black males strongly opposed abortion. Listen to that, Mama D. Let me say that again. From the Library of Medicine, 75.7% of black males strongly opposed abortion, but we don't hear about that. So that concerns me, my third point. And here's the last point. I did some demographics or a statistic that is startling. Black women had the highest rate of abortions with 23.8 per 1,000 women. That leads all other women demographically. But where men stand, and I'm glad you mentioned Emmett Till. I am so thankful. I saw a film clipping that I thank God that Mamie Till, mom, the mother of Emmett Till, did not abort him. And I'm sure he had every opportunity. It was a painful abortion. I mean, it was a painful birth. But I thank God that she went on and had him, even though he only lived 14 years. Think of all the other black boys that have been aborted, okay? And again, we talk about women's liberty, liberation. Don't get me wrong. They ought to be free. But again, my concern, and when Mama D called me, was where are the family members speaking out on this issue, specifically black males? So those are the four points I wanted to share, Mama D, and I thank you for bringing me on to talk about this issue. Mm-hmm.
Well, could I just ask you one question about the 75.7% of black men strongly oppose abortion because statistics have also said that only 25% of families have a father and a mother in the home, which means 75% of black homes are without fathers. Those numbers are so close together. Is there a connection? 75% are without fathers in the home, and only 25% have a father and a mother and children in a home. So how does that line up with abortion? Are men feeling some unresolved conflicts or hostility when it comes to women? Well, what's happening with these figures is what I would like to know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. And I just believe that so many black males either have been shut out of the process or they don't have a concern. Now, what do I believe? I believe that so many of us have been shut out of the process because we do push women's liberation. And I'm a big fan of women being free. But I also know that God made both male and females and a husband and wife. And I just believe that where are the men on the issue when it comes to abortion? Are we being overshadowed because of women's liberation? But men, black men, need to step up. And we have so many black legislators now, Mama D, so many black elected officials. And I did read the article out of the Library of Medicine. But where are they on the issue of abortion? I don't hear any sides. And I know there are tons of elected officials back home in Chicago where I lived for 26 years. That's the longest place that I've ever lived on the earth. And I grew up in Mississippi, not far from the murder site of Emmett Till, about 8 miles from that site. But where are we on the issue of abortion as black males? And we're silent. And that really concerns me. Great point that you shared.
But you know, you said shut out of the process.
Yes.
What I had said earlier, I don't know if you joined us the earlier part of the show, but a woman is a trinity. She is part living egg, part living sperm, and what the egg and the sperm created call living soul. And that this family is what keeps people, the continuation of life on earth. It's this family. So a woman is in a family way. She's not got a right to choose by herself. If she didn't choose the day after pill, or she didn't choose to report stranger, relative, or friend that raped her, and her seeing her only choice, and she didn't choose after this, she didn't choose any of that. She just wants to choose sex heirs must pay for her sexual misconduct, and she's not even allowing the man in the process. And 75% strongly opposed, that is amazing. So how can we involve the man into the process where he feels shut out of the process?
Great question. And I just think it begins with us, or should I say the woman, bringing us into the process, making the decision on whether you want to have an abortion. And I get that women say, this is my body. I understand it is your body. But again, that seed inside of you connects with a sperm, okay? Don't we have any kind of say, though? And I talked to a gentleman where his girlfriend had over 4 abortions, and he had to pay for those abortions along with her. And I'm saying to myself, he wanted to keep the child, Mama D, but yet and still the woman says, no, I don't want to have these children. But they continue. Four different times Mama D had a child. She was impregnated, and each of those four times she aborted that child. Isn't that something? So it starts with the black woman. Father, not this, okay? I think that is something that needs to be said.
I think that that is true, but it also, however, is going to be financially responsible if you're asking the government to be financially responsible. Then you bring in the responsible parties and the father of what they and what they created is part of that process. And that can easily be remedied because, as I said earlier, if a woman wants to get support for her children, she has to give up the name of the daddy, whether they can find him or not. And the same thing. If she wants to apply, you're going to come up with some false names. You're going to come up with something. And the same rule should apply to abortion because it's a family affair. It's not just her body. She's a family now. Sperm,
Amen.
Egg, the living souls that you all put together. So what do you think?
Yes. That's right. I certainly agree with how you put that together. That's important.
So that they should be in the laws of taxpayers who have to pay them into the process. And when they strongly oppose, what are they proposing? Are they proposing marriage? Are they proposing financially being responsible for what they have created?
Excuse me, Mama D, you got
those are great questions.
Fine.
Okay. Very good. Very good point.
You want to take some callers?
Some calls now. We had,
okay.
I believe, was the first one up.
All right. I'll take you in this order, 314-677 and then 864-340. First, 314-677, your mic is open. Go right ahead.
Well, you say it's a family affair, but you got rules now that a 12-year-old can have an abortion without letting their parents know. If the parents don't know, how the rest of the family going to know? And another point, I don't know, since Roe versus Wade, and I was told that, and listened to data, that black women rarely seldom had abortions now at the point of where they began after the court decision. And by the way, the court didn't have no right to make a law to authorize abortion. But black women was having abortion at the rate of 1,200 a day. That's 50 per hour. And some sources say 1,700 a day for over 30 years up until, from 73 up until 2005 or somewhere around in there. That's over 20 million babies. So it's something going on there, and you just mentioned that this one woman had four. She's walking around with a haunted house between her legs.
That's correct. Yes.
And how do you expect a fetus to form normally living in a haunted house? You wouldn't live in a haunted house as a full-grown adult.
Amen.
And sleep in it.
Well, you know, But I just want to go on the record to say I object to the term living in a haunted house. You know,
well,
what
else would it be then?
That was a haunted house.
Well, that's your opinion. I agree. I know.
Yeah,
me and this gentleman agree to it, Mama D. Can we please let us finish so we can. You got other callers that want to get on. I got just one more point to make.
Okay. And he addressed that point, living in a haunted house. Pastor, did you address that?
I did mention that. I agree with the fact that a sperm is inside or plays a major part, of course, in creation of a baby. But when you say a haunted house, what do you mean by that?
It's a haunted house. See, when a man ejaculates into a woman, her immune system tries to kill that sperm because it's a foreign object. It's a foreigner to that body. She, and that's why come it's only one that can make it past that immune system in her body.
Thank you for clearing that up. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah, so when that one makes it and it's trying to form, then you come and kill it because that fetus has been isographed to show that they run from those instruments that's trying to tear it apart. And when it succeeds, then that spirit of that fetus still is roaming around in that womb. The womb is haunted. And if you do that 4, 5, or 6 times, you really got it going on. So how do you raise a baby, a form, a fetus into a baby in that haunted house and you want to come out and be normal, acting normal? It's a whole lot going on there. And we have to admit that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. Okay.
Paula, did you have another point?
Sure. No, I don't have another point on that. I wanted to get some clarification on that word. Interesting word that he uses there, but the analysis that he shared, it happened. So you're in a strange house, a sperm, but it only takes one to create a fetus. So thank you for sharing that. Okay, we can take the next call of Mama D whenever you're ready.
All right, area code 864-340. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your comments.
Hello, this is Shabazz. And my comments are, I understand what Bianca was just saying, but the reality is that, you know, I know even personally with the stuff that us as black folk, us as Africans and Americans, and the Americans have endured, you understand, the pain. This is no question if you had struggling souls, struggling spirits that were in a place. You understand? There's no question. We have all of those spirits around us, but I don't think we want to halt ourselves. You know, even listening and knowing Pianchi's rhetoric, it is still the one that we still see the potential with us being the descendants of those lost, those spirits that are torn. You understand? Those, we're in a haunted house right now, 100%. But Kanye West became a billionaire. We still are able to grasp on to positive aspects, although it's not fully perfect. We still are able to grasp on and live within positive aspects of this so-called, quote-unquote, haunted house of America. We just saw what happened in Buffalo. We saw America not come to the aid of black folk, you understand, as the same way they did in the days of the Casual Killing Act, where they would hang black folk and you would walk around and see black folk hanging for trees. Now, if we don't identify that as a haunted house and say, well, hey, there's no way we can make it, we don't stunt ourselves in that progress. So I don't think we should halt our women at being able to be and go forward. You understand? Just the same way we don't shoot our children in the foot and we don't say, well, you can't make it here in America because for sure it's a haunted house. We shouldn't do our women the same way. You understand? Now, I understand what Bianca's saying. And there are those that are able to actually be produced, children that are produced that still have houses that are physically, literally haunted. You understand? So there are the various levels of this spiritual dysfunction that we're dealing with that we should kind of get on board. But I want to go to the primary thing. I heard Bianca say that the rates aren't high for abortion. If we didn't know that our highest mortality rate for any type of death, whether it be high blood pressure, the way that we die the most is through abortions. That's at the top of the list, not gang violence. You understand? Not eating too many pork chops, but it's abortions. So with us, it's not up just for women. That's not a discussion for women. That's not just a discussion for men. That's a collective discussion that we should be having together. And we should ask ourselves as women and also as men, how do we fix this situation? Not by becoming part of the whole feminist, the whole lesbian feminist movement,
okay,
where, oh, I don't need a man. All I need is my women. All I need, and that's, you could never, and what they're doing is that while we are on the brink of trying to repair our broken families, out of any race of people in humanity, our family is the most broken. This is a fact across the board.
True.
All right, and we want to open up for more brokenness. This is only going to say, well, now, rather than a man and a woman raising a family, now it's two men raising a family. It's two women raising a family. You understand? Or one woman raising a family where she feels like she doesn't need him. No. We need to invite the man back in. We need to, our men need to invite the women back in and see how we can conduct ourselves all the way up to a point where I can, excuse me for saying, I can keep my penis in my pants. I can keep my vagina in my pants and not well say, well, oh, that is more important for me to get this nut off, for me to go over there and get sexually pleased outside of now setting the tone to create a family. This is how our families are created. So when you're talking about the haunted house, it starts way before it gets to the womb. It starts in the mind. So there are a lot of children that have been produced that were just, what, a quickie. You mean to tell me that's not a haunted situation? Or they're, you know what I'm saying? They aren't coming together where the mother is right here. She's loving the father. Father over here is loving the mother. And now we're coming together. We're going to create a child. We're going to have a family.
Yeah, one more caller, Mommy.
That's not the discussion.
Okay. We got one more caller, Mama D, if you want to try to squeeze him in real quick before we go.
Can we take another call, please?
Area code 336-350, introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your thoughts real quick. We have about 30 seconds. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Lateef. Brother Pianke, I'm going to use that. That is a very deep analogy, the haunted house. Thank you for sharing that. I understand what you are saying. However, family, it is much, much deeper than that. And I'm going to use that, Brother Pianke. Thank us. Thank you, Dr. Lateef. Thank you, family. I appreciate that.
Okay.
You give us a closing comment, Pastor Parker.
Yes, I will in about 30 seconds. Here it is. It's real simple. Based on what I've heard today, it is so important. If we're going to bring down the high abortion numbers that are affecting black women at alarming rates, it is so vitally important that we consider it a family affair. Mama D, I really appreciate you for the topic. A lot of people do not see it that way. It will take both the male and female working together, and we will probably see many of the abortions go down if we involve the family, the male. I think it's a very good thing, and I will be looking forward to sharing that as I talk with couples and also share with them about the abortion issues as I counsel many couples. Thank you so much for asking me to come on the show today, and I look forward to coming back in the future. God bless you.
I thank you for coming on. I thank everyone for listening. But if 75.7% of men strongly oppose abortion, then this is a subject that has to be continued. And part of the natural cycle of life is that that's why only the strong survive. So it is a miracle indeed when most of the sperm is not fertilized. So that is why seed is sacred when it does become fertilized. And hallelujah that we all came from the cycle of life, and it's not all a haunted house, but it could be if that's your definition. Thank you for listening.
Thank you all.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsanida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Geret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakor. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.